the Gospel according to St. Luke. Out of the 15th chapter, I began reading at verse 17 and go through verse 24 and supporting scripture, Ecclesiastes 3 and 4. The Bible reads, "And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father, and when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. And this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry." Supporting scripture from Ecclesiastes 3 and 4. The Bible reads, "A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance." The base of those verses this morning, we like to use a thought or a subject, homecoming, ought to be a time of celebration. Homecoming ought to be a time of celebration. Hallelujah. It sounds like homecoming in here this morning. It sounds like somebody loves the Lord our God. Every one of you got a right to love him. Every one of you got a right to praise him. I don't care what your neighbor think about you. They don't know like you know what the Lord God has brought you through. So you got to praise him while you can. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Every day, hallelujah. Every day, hallelujah, is truly a day of thanksgiving. Don't let nobody hinder your joy. Hallelujah. We are blessed by the best this morning. And it takes a God. It takes a God that sits high and looks low and understands all that we are going through. And God has a way of just sort of stepping in and can just give you that inner strength that you need to do whatever you need to do for the Lord our God. And I thank God for that, because I find him to be a God that's everywhere at all times. We're in here and we are worshiping God and we are feeling good all down on the inside. And even though there may be sickness in the house this morning, there may be somebody behind on their bills this morning, that still can't hinder you or shouldn't hinder you from praising God. You may have an ache in your body, but if you got an arm that you can move, it still ought to be a time to tell God thank you. Hallelujah, Jesus. We come into this place to lift up the name of Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I'm excited about Jesus this morning. I'm excited about what the Lord God is going to do and what he's already doing. The enemy is gaining ground all around us with all of the negative things that we see and all the negative things that may come about. But how many of you still believe that God has all power? I'm still willing to say this morning that we serve a mighty God, and we serve a God that is able to do anything but fail. I believe that when the Bible says that there is nothing too hard for the Lord, that whatever it is that you might be going through, all you got to do is just take it to Jesus. There was a time when we were young people and we used to hear him say, take it to the altar and leave it there. And we tended to wonder, what really does that mean? Does we just go there and pray and God's just going to work it out? But most of the time, because we didn't have a clear understanding, we would take our situation right back to the pew and right back out the door, because in our intelligent minds, we feel like we can work it out ourselves. But how many of you know, while you're trying to figure it out, God has already worked it out? That's the kind of God that I serve this morning. He's one that will make a way when there is no way. He's one that when I thought I was weak, he makes me strong. He's one that said that if I'm with you, no man, no weapon formed against you will be able to prosper. And I'm a true believer of that, because everybody that smile in your face don't like you. Everybody that even say I love you don't love you. They might love what you do. They may love what you represent, but do they love you? But I serve a God this morning that loves me, loves us. And you got a right to praise him. This is Homecoming Sunday, right here in the Fowles Chapel Baptist Church, where everybody is somebody. And first and foremost, we welcome the presence of God's Spirit. We can't get ready for homecoming if the Spirit of God is not here. We are laying the foundation for our fall revival. And it is my prayer and my hope, I've already prayed for the revival, that God will bless us and send us just what we need. Now, when God sends us the word of God, we got to be obedient to God's word. We got to follow his direction, his guidance, and wherever he tells us to go, we got to have a mind to go. We got to have a mind this morning to know that even though you may not be all that you want to be, anybody glad you're not what you used to be? Hallelujah. I thank God for being a mighty God. Thank God for the people of God that went with us last week as we traveled to New Jersey and had a good time in the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. I feel that message right now. There is always a word from the Lord. And Jeremiah said, is there a word from the Lord? And I got a word for you this morning, too, because the Lord put another word on my heart. And I thank God for his word. I thank God for an opportunity to stand one more time in this sacred, holy sanctuary. I thank God for my day's journey. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. When I came in on Wednesday evening and the airplane landed, and it landed kind of rough. It landed so rough, actually, the flight attendant said, I know everybody know that we've landed. So God knows it too. But it made me begin to just be ever so thankful, because that was just a rough landing. And I could feel that bump, and I didn't like it a bit, but it wasn't a thing that I could do about it. But the main thing was that it stopped and we were safe. But then I began to think about a real plane crash. God Almighty, if they land that hard wrong, a crash definitely would take you out. And I believe that's why many of us are afraid to fly. But what are you afraid of? You could die sitting on that pew right there. You could fall in your bathtub and knock your head up against the tub and be gone. So are you going to stop taking a bath because somebody died in the tub? Where is your faith in God? You got to have a mind that sometimes you might be one to say, I would not go, I would not do that. But there's a time that you're going to have to get over that, what I won't do, and do what you got to do. Now think about the word of God, and one of my favorite scriptures where David says, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And I wonder, does anybody in here have anything to be glad about? Do you know that this is the Lord's day? This is the Lord's doing. The way that the Spirit is ushering in here, and the way that the people of God is feeling the presence of God, that's the Lord's doing. And sometimes you know how there are some folk that don't have it like you got it, and they want you to sit down and be still. How many of you know that this joy that I had, you didn't give it to me? And God, I'm not going to let you take it away. Because every time I think about how good God has been to me, there's something down on the inside want me to tell God, thank you. See, I realize that I could not move if it wasn't for the Lord our God. It is his breath that is in our bodies. And the Bible declares it is in him that we live and move and have our being. So without God, we would be nothing this morning. When I just think of his goodness, hallelujah, Jesus. His love and his power. I know that God is a way maker. Sometimes when I began to believe that God has everything all under control. And we pray for the homecoming and for the revival. We are just thanking God for the things that he is going to do in advance. We ought to have a hallelujah spirit anyhow. We ought to be able to praise God anyhow. Vows Chapel, we ought to be able to lift up the mighty name of Jesus. Whether we have any visitors or not, we ought to be where God sent us to be. Don't let nobody come in here and take over our revival. This is our revival. Anybody in here need God in your life? Then you better come in here this week and get what you need. Stop running to the doctor all the time and come see Dr. Jesus. I believe God got something for everybody in here this week. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let us look at two key words this morning. Homecoming and celebration. Homecoming means a return to one's home. Simple as that. Celebration. To observe a special occasion with festive activity. To praise publicly or to honor. Engaging in festive activities after hearing some good news. Anybody ever got some good news and say, it's time to have a party? Well, don't get holy on me now. You hadn't forgotten how to party, have you? You hadn't forgot how to be merry, have you? Do you know how to put a smile on your face? Do you know, I know the class reunion, I know last night y'all was smiling. Last night y'all was happy. Last night y'all were dancing and doing the bug. So every now and again in the house of God, you ought to be able to tell God thank you. I'm not mad at you. I'm not hating on you. I thank God that you're able. You better dance while you can. I don't know why we got so holy. We got away from dancing and enjoying life. Because that is not the way God intended for mankind to live. It's a form of celebration. It's a form of being happy. It's a form of joy. Some of us even use it as exercise. You got a few extra pounds and you still like to dance? Throw you some music on it. Get some of that weight off you. You let the critics sit there and look at you. They're going to talk about you anyhow. So you just as well be happy. Running around people pleasing. The Bible say obey God rather than man. Some folk ain't this close to Jesus going to tell you how you ought to live. Homecoming ought to be a time of celebration. Homecoming, as we know it in the church house, is a time where members that are moved away can come back home. You're never going to be able to change home. Now, where is home? Home to us in the church house is the first church that you become a member of. And it doesn't matter whether whatever took you away from that place. If you follow the covenant, then as soon as you leave from your home church and you get this new abode somewhere else in another city, then you need to take that spirit of God that you had in this church, find you another church that got that same spirit of God, and unite yourself with those people and continue to lift up the name of Jesus. And then every now and then when you hear that on the fourth Sunday of September at the Fowles Chapel Baptist Church, we're having homecoming. If you live here, there, anywhere, you ought to be making your way back home. So I can sit down with some of the people that I grew up with, so I can sit down with those that I started out with. Homecoming. That's a time when our sister churches can come together and not skip their service in order to be in fellowship with us. Time for the community members, even though they don't even have a church house, to come to the house of God. So I thank God for homecoming. One thing about homecoming, hallelujah, we have a good time in the church house. And then as we start to get this celebration going, there's going to be a tail party. Hallelujah. But we're just not going to open up the trunks this morning. We're going to have it on the inside. Fried chicken and potato salad. I don't know what else they got down there, but I can tell you it's going to be good because we got a good cook. See, that's one thing I love is good food, and I don't want nobody messing around in our kitchen that don't know what they're doing. Amen. You're going to go down about 1:30 and eat some good old physical food. Then I'm hoping and praying that Dr. Gray come up in here with something this evening. Because he was supposed to bring us our dessert served on a silver platter. So don't eat too much downstairs that you don't have room enough for the word this afternoon during homecoming. I'm going to be watching you, deacons. You need to get a nap in between. Do what you got to do. We're going to lift up the name of Jesus in this house. It's amazing how good I feel this morning. Why do I feel good? Because I'm going to enjoy Jesus. Anybody going to enjoy Jesus with me? David said his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Anybody want to help me praise him? Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to move here in a minute. But let me give you a few words of wisdom coming from King Solomon. He tells us in Ecclesiastes, first of all, he says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Which reminds us that God is in control of all things. Whether you want to have a good time or not, God already know we're going to have a good time. Whether I'm worried about what the great going to bring, God already know what great going to bring. All I got to do is just receive the word of God. When I began to look that God has already established the patterns of life, so that no matter what you think about it, you can't change what God got in store for you. We find out when we look in the book of Ecclesiastes that he realized that there was a time for all things. And I'm not continuing. I'm not worried about all the other time. We know that you're born and you hadn't died yet or you wouldn't be in here this morning. Some of you missed that. That's something. The Bible says, a time to weep and a time to laugh. So you're going to have to cry sometime. But how many of you know you don't have to cry all the time? How many of you know crying days are going to soon be over? Anybody in here know how to laugh? Every now and again, you got to laugh. Every time that enemy get on you, you got to laugh that enemy off of you. Sometime when the enemy get up in your face and think that they got the upper hand, all you got to do is throw a big smile on your face. All you got to do is act like you're happy anyhow. You know that enemy don't like it when you got joy. So if you want to get the enemy off of you, just keep your joy. Let the enemy do what he or she may do, but you hold on to your joy. You continue to walk that walk and know that God is going to make a way out of no way. Hallelujah, Jesus. That there's a time that you're going to be sad in your life. Every now and again, we find ourselves mourning. But I thank God that it's not always a time to mourn. God said there's a time that we can dance. There ought to be a time that you ought to want to get up and tell somebody that I love the Lord. And I got all of my mind and I know that I'm going to serve God with everything that I got. Then when I think about how good God has been, I think about a song that Sister Wilma sang, if the Lord never does anything else, he's already done enough. Anybody feel like that this morning? That God has done enough for you. But we got some folk just like the prodigal son this morning. And I stopped by to give you a little parable this morning. One that Jesus allowed the people of God to hear in the word of God. For there was a young man. This young man realizes that the Bible says the man had two sons. The younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me my portion of goods that falleth to me. So the father divided unto them his living. Him being the younger son, his portion was just one source. But the older son was to get two. But what he wanted to realize is that I want what's mine right now. Now, there are some of us that are waiting on mom and daddy to die and get what we're going to get. But this young man realized that you heard that commercial that said, I want my money now. Yeah. This is that young man. He said, Dad, I don't want to wait until after a while. I want my money now. Anybody in here ever ask your daddy for something? Your daddy was nice enough to give it to you? Look here. The Bible says he divided unto them his living. Not many days after the younger son gathered all together, now he got a pocket full of money. So he took a journey into a far country. Didn't know how to act when he got there. For the Bible says he wasted his substance with riotous living. In other words, he was doing his thing. You know how you young folks say, I'm going to do me. He said, I'm going to do me now. Daddy can't tell me what time to come home. Daddy can't tell me how many drinks I can have. Because now I got a pocket full of money. If I got anybody that want to drink tonight, I'm going to set up the house. See, that's riotous living. See, you don't have but a little bit easy money, go fast. When you didn't have to work for it, you don't mind spending it out. But when you don't have a source to bring it back in, that's when reality gonna hit home. Oh, somebody ought to help me this morning. You think you all grown and you all of that and you want to get out there. But when you get out there, how many of you been out there and had to go back home? Anybody in here ever had to go back home? Thought that you all grown and you want to do your thing. You find out that it costs to be the boss. That what mama used to say. I thought she was being smart. She meant business. Now I know what she's talking about. You can't run nothing unless you can pay for it. Somebody tell you to turn that television off and you're not paying the light bill, turn it off. But I owe you nothing. The Bible says he done spent everything that he had. Then there arose a mighty famine in that land. Now he began to be in want. A famine is when there's a shortage. So then many people have much of nothing. And he really didn't have nothing because he done already wasted everything he had. See, you got to be careful of all them folk that want to walk with you when you got a little something. Anybody got any of them friends? And when your pocket's fat, you got everybody all around you. But just as soon as you pulling cotton out your pocket, ain't nobody there to help you pick up that cotton balls. You all by yourself. This is where this young man is right now, all by himself. All of his good buddies done went on. All of his buddies done went on their business. And they mooching off somebody else, not Charles. I'm going to leave that alone. Okay? Now that he don't have anything, the Bible says that he went out and he joined himself to a citizen of that country. He needed a job. Got nothing, but he did have sense enough to know that one way to get something is to get a job. Now, it's a sad thing that the only job he could find was in the fields feeding the swine. I remember. Hallelujah, visiting my uncle in the country. And they had a pig pen down around the side. I was so scared of them hogs and from long distance. God knows I wouldn't want to go down by the pen. Smelt bad, looked bad, they were ugly. But now here this man is, a young man, come from a well-to-do home. Had to have something going on because daddy had enough to give him his early. But now he's found himself there, feeding the swine. The Bible says he would have fanned and filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. Because no man gave unto him. See, it's a sad thing this morning. When you give up everything that you got, you find out that don't nobody really love you. Find out that your so-called friend has just been using you. And I see this young man now, he's standing there all by himself. But he remembered that I got a daddy at home. My daddy got servants and they got a whole lot of food. And I don't know why I'm sitting right here in this hog pen. But I got to realize that it's not the way my daddy brought me up. See, I realized I had a seed planted down on the inside. And when I got my seed down on the inside, God began to do something new in my life. Oh, I thank you, God, now for the Holy Ghost. For the Bible said when this man got in this bad situation, he realized and came to himself. He said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare? And here I am perishing with hunger. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to rise and get up and go back to my father. I'm going to go and tell my daddy I sinned against heaven and against you. Oh, daddy, I want to let you know this morning that I done let go of your principles and your home training. But I done come to myself now. In a time that you get out of the will of God, you better find a way to get back home. Every time you realize that I can't do what I want to do, every time you feel like that I don't want to follow those rules, you better get yourself in order, because there's somebody that's going to put you in a position where you don't have nothing at all by yourself. The man realized that I'm no more worthy to be called the child of God. I ought to be one of your hired servants. He got up and arose and went to his father. But the Bible says as he got close there to his father, that his father saw him from afar off. It's good to know your children. And every now and again, you ought to know how they walk. You ought to know how they hold their head. Then nobody had to tell him that that's your child coming down the street. But he looked up the road and saw this man. And this man was all ragged and dirty, walking down the road very weak and bad. But Bible said that he looked upon that man, realized that that's my child, and I'm going to see about my child. The Bible said that when he got there, that he put his arms all around him. He had compassion on him, and he kissed him on his neck. He realized that this is my child, and he done come back home. When he got back home, the father said, go bring me my best robe. Go bring me a ring that I can put on his finger. Go get me the fatted calf because it's time to have a celebration. The Bible said that my son that was dead is alive again. And now that he that had lost his found. I come to tell somebody this morning, when you are lost, God has a way to help you find your way back home. And when the Lord help you find your way back home, he'll stand there with his arms wide open. That's why he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest this morning. I thank God for this young man, but I thank God most of all for his daddy, because his daddy didn't say, I told you so. His daddy didn't say, you're not welcome home. You better be careful how you leave home, because you got a government, you may have to go back one day. Everybody that say, I don't like the way that things are going on in here, you better put yourself in order, because if you don't have the means of taking care of business, you got to learn how to follow the rules of the land. You can have 20 houses on one street, and they can all be built up just alike on the outside. But if you go on the inside, you'll find out that every one of them are different. Because everybody carried their home in a certain way. Everybody got their own house rules. And this man had his own house rules. If you don't follow the rules of the house, you better get up your little mess. I can remember Mama used to say, when you can't do what I tell you to do, put your little mess in a matchbox and let the door hit you in the back. I come to tell somebody this morning that if you don't have nothing, everything that you got to come from the Lord. And I thank God that when it's homecoming time, God wants us to have a celebration. Even though the elder son got mad and he got jealous because of all of the good treatment. There's some folk don't like to see you dance. Some folk don't like for you to have a party, but you party on anyhow. For God I'll live and for God I'll die. I stopped by to tell you this morning that homecoming ought to be a time of celebration. We ought to celebrate this afternoon about the goodness of the Lord our God. We ought to celebrate because we were lost and now we are found. Anybody ever been lost? Anybody got any children lost? So you know that God will find them exactly where they are. Lay them down on the altar. Pray to the Lord thy God. And God will come to see about you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Homecoming. Homecoming ought to be a time of celebration. We got something to celebrate about. This young man had something to celebrate about. His father was a good man. And that represents our Father who is in heaven. It doesn't matter how you went out and lived, what you done when you were out there. All God wants you to do is to come to yourself like this young man and realize that I don't have to stay in the predicament that I'm in. I can go back home. I can go to my Father. And if I go to my Father, everything is going to be all right. Don't be ashamed to come back and say, Daddy, I'm sorry. Don't be too proud. You know, there's some that are walking homeless now because they are too proud to go back home and say, I made a mistake. I thought I knew, but I really just didn't know what I was getting myself into. And for those of you that are still at home and you feel like you're tired of all of the rules, all of the regulations, be careful before you go out there. It's a mean world out there. And if you don't have Jesus, that world will eat you up. And it don't care about spitting you out to the dirt and who tramples over you. But even if that happens, if there's still a breath in your body, don't give up. Look to the hills from which cometh your help. Know that all of your help comes from God. And you ought to be able to go back home. There's no place like home.